But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Greatly appreciate your presence this morning. Safety has been a topic of discussion in congregations recently. How do you secure a building in event of an attack? And of course, those who are familiar with the Noblesville area, even schools can have attacks. And it is even here. And what is the solution? Is it arming ourselves, you know, hiring security? Is it to have Trace sit out in the hallway, which we're glad he is doing? Hi, Trace. How you doing? Yep, he waves back. And how do we secure true safety? Well, the title of this lesson, as you might see behind me, is Peace and Safety. And there is a comfort of life to come for the righteous in 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, it reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So we know that there is a life to come after this. If you are righteous, there is a comfort in that. And as was read in our hearing just a few minutes ago in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, it says, "Those who say everything is peaceful and safe, when everything's about to come tumbling down, crashing down, what a foolishness it is." You know, the first four verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you like a thief." And there, many people are living their lives this way, saying, "Well, it's never going to happen," or "I don't believe it's going to happen," or "I'll just make certain that when I am old, I can repent at the 11th hour." And many people live their lives like, "Well, I'll repent at that 11th hour." The problem is they die at 10:30. I stole that from the Delphi people. They posted on their Facebook page, but I liked it. And I think it's worthy to mention that. How many people die when they intend to die? You know, not everybody gets a little thing in the mail saying, "Be ready, you're going to die at, you know, 11:56 a.m. on September the 9th. We don't have that advantage. And it's the same thing when God comes back. You know, when Jesus comes back, what's he going to say? If if Jesus or God or whomever of our deities say Jesus is going to return at this time, how many people would believe it? And the answer is not very many. Most people say, no, he's not coming back. And they'll come up with all kinds of reasons. But we need to be sober. We need to be serious. In verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do the others, but let us watch and be sober. To be sober means is to be serious about our salvation, to be serious about the things which could come. You know, as a congregation, you know, it was brought up the dangers that could happen to us if someone was to come in here and want to shoot up the place. What would you do? What can we do? And a lot of people have said, well, it's never going to happen. And we had Jim's son, Ryan. Most of you know Ryan. And Ryan is a police officer. And he was talking about don't think if it happens. He says, think of in the way that when it happens. You have to have that attitude that it could, not only could happen, but very likely can happen and may happen and will happen. If we have that attitude, we'll be prepared. It's the same thing about being ready for our judgment day, our death in some cases. Ephesians the fifth chapter and in verse 6, it reads, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake them that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, we use the time well. Security is a big deal. I mean, we talk about protecting ourselves. Have you ever flown in an airport recently since 2001? Is it the same as it was before? No, not hardly. The fun of people saying, take off your shoes at the airport and having enough time to have people scan you. And we discovered in flying to Ukraine and back that different countries had different levels of security. You know, in Washington, D.C., at the Dulles Airport, yep, they had security. You know, take your shoes off, we're going to look at them. And I had my tie-up shoes, and that was a pain. Untie them, take them off, put them through the x-ray machine, put them back on, put everything through, get everything put back together, get in line, and hope you make your flight. And then we go into Germany, and it wasn't quite as upsetting. And when we flew in and out of Ukraine, they were like, yeah, go ahead and blow us up. It was kind of the attitude that we got. When you go adopt a kid from Ukraine to the United States, you have to make many stops at many government offices. Some of them are very nice, and some of them look like they're put together with a couple of pieces of plywood and baling wire and maybe some duct tape. But the nicest one facility went to, of course, was the United States Embassy in Kiev. But you had to go in. They didn't let you take your cell phones with you. You had to go through security, go down this little hill, through this incline, and then you go through and go through some more security just so you can fill out a form saying, I want to adopt a kid. And then we had to go through, we had to get a visa so she could fly out and going through that security. They are a target. And last few years, I've seen a couple of instances where I see this picture saying, I know that building. and there are people who are upset with the United States, and they go to where the United States is located in Kiev, because that's considered American soil. So that is a target. And they have things, you can't just walk in, because there are people who might, shall we say, be threatening. So how do we protect ourselves at church? You know, well, we can do the fight crime, shoot back credo. You know, we could have everybody get their gun licenses and come in with their rootin' tootin' shooting irons. I'm not sure if that's the only solution. We can lock up the doors. We can set up escape plans. We can do all kinds of things to make it hard for someone to shoot up the place. And we also have to ask ourselves, well, what life do we put first anyway? You know, we can fight for a while, but we're still going to die one day, whether it's here or somewhere else. John, the 12th chapter in verse 23, it reads, verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this house." Jesus died so that we might have a life beyond this world. Luke, the 9th chapter, and also in verse 23, it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Also in Luke, the 17th chapter, and in verse 33 only, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." In other words, those who sacrifice their souls to have their life extended here on earth are going to find that they have lost everything, that they have lost their lives in heaven. You know, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Think about the rich man in the 10th chapter of Mark. You know, what does he say? He comes up to Jesus and says, "What can I do to be saved?" You know, and you know, what better person to ask than Jesus? You know, "What shall I do? And what can I do to inherit eternal life?" It says in verse 17. And Jesus says, "Why you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God." And he says, "You know the commandments, you know, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, you know, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he says, "Well, I've kept all these from my youth up." And Jesus says, beholds him, and he loves him, and goes, "Okay, there's one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And that man was sad. And he went away grieved because he had many possessions. The man was possessed by his possessions. Could you imagine if someone walked up to you and said, "You have to give away absolutely everything you have"? I don't see anybody who might be able to have the nickname Money Bags in this building. Unless you fooled me, and if you have, that's fine. But if you don't have anything, they say you need to even give away that, and you can go to heaven, but you won't have anything on this earth. The treasure will be in heaven. How many would do what Jesus tells them to do? And with all these things, he talks about those who trust in riches and how hard it is to get in there. They're saying, well, who can be saved? And Jesus says, well, with men, that's impossible, but with God, no. With God, all things are possible. And Peter, in verse 28, says to him, lo, we've left all. We've left everything. We've given up everything. We followed you. But Jesus says in verse 29 of Mark 10, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. That's your reward. And he says, and many that are first shall be last, and the last first. If you want to be first in this world, that's wonderful, but if you sacrifice your service to God, you'll be last in the next world. And if you're willing to be the last in this world so you can have a home in heaven, you'll be first in the next. Protection. Why is Trace sitting there? He's being watchful to give warning. Get out, you know. Try to, if someone were to come in, what to do so we can get as many people unharmed as possible. You know, Mark 13 and verse 32. Verse 32, it says, but of the hour and the day of that hour of judgment knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. While we may want to watch for suspicious characters and people out there or people acting unusually, we also need to watch for the corrupting influences on our lives and our souls. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, Paul writes by inspiration, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. In other words, if you want to hang out with evil people saying, oh, I can make the evil people good, you're more likely to be the one influenced than the one that is evil. We need to stay away from those type of individuals. And in Titus, the first chapter, Paul talks about the need when he writes to Titus to get corrupting influences out, get them away from us. You know, it talks about in verse 5 of Titus 1, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men or good things, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. In other words, why do we have elders? To be leaders, to be kind of like to direct us in the way we need to go, to direct us in the ways to get us to heaven, to get those out of there, to make certain that the righteous words, God's word, is taught. And why do we teach the same things over and over? Because it strengthens us. It helps us to recognize the dangers to our souls when we know what is in the scripture and what to look out for. Because Satan is always a danger to us. We cannot say peace and safety when he's looking to get us. You know, 1 Peter 5, you know, it talks about the need to feed the flock. It talks about to do those things, you know. It says in verse 4, but when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And it says, you know, talks about the elders in the first couple of verses. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensembles to the flock. We need to feed the flock. We need to be given leadership to heed the warnings of the elder ones. Because we're the targets of Satan, you know. Peter was a target. And Peter knew that too well when he wrote this. You know, what did Jesus say that Satan wanted to do to him? He said he wanted to sift Peter like wheat. He wanted to grind him up into a fine powder. He was a target. You know, the sinners in the world, they are not targets because Satan's already got them. The ones who serve God, those are the ones that Satan wants. You know, Jesus, you know, in Luke the 22nd chapter, you know, verse 31, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And yes, indeed, we see that Jesus had them arm themselves. We see that a little later in Luke 22. You know, he talks about, you know, the things that we need to do, you know, to arm ourselves, you know. And they say, you know, here are two swords, and he said to them, it is enough. But yet, when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, you know, as Jesus being taken, Jesus, of course, rebuked Peter because he was interfering with God's will. Jesus was to die. It was not to be interfered with. And you can read about that in Matthew 26 and in John 18. You know, we are not to be suicidal when people walk into a building and they say, I'm going to kill you. I don't believe in that. I don't think you would too. If someone's going to attack your wife or your spouse or your children, you will want to make certain that they have a chance to live. Have I talked to my wife about what to do in that circumstance? Nice, I have. I say, here's what you need to do. And she goes, well, I don't know if I can run. I said, you'll be amazed what adrenaline will do to you. You don't know what you're going to do. It's like when you're preaching and saying, what will I do when someone comes forward to be baptized? And I said, you react. And it's amazing how it all clicks in. It is not something to be... Should we fear death? Well, we would all like to die quietly and painlessly in our bed and look like Greta Garbo in those old 30s movies where she has all her makeup on and she looks quite healthy and she passes away beautifully. Now, if you've seen someone die, you know it's not quite that way. Not everyone gets to die in their bed. Not everyone gets to die comfortably. Some people die in a blaze of pain. And sometimes it lasts a long time. And sometimes people get lucky and they die in a good way. But you know what? We all face danger. Our soul faces danger every day. Satan's out there saying, how can I get this faithful person? How do I get them? But for us to cry out peace and safety when there's danger out on the road, you know, it's like saying, well, I'll have peace and safety, so I'm going to go drive today and wear a blindfold. Would you want to ride with me when I'm driving with my blindfold on? Or if I take off my glasses. Have you ever done that, glasses wearers? One day when I lived in Terre Haute, I got up and said, I need to go to the post office. You know what? The world looks different today. I can't read the street signs. Okay, the world's really different. I forgot my glasses. Here's something to tell you. You ever go to they make you take that eye test? I cannot read the eye test unless I close one eye, because I see two of everything. And they go, okay, obviously he's not doing too well with one of the eyes, and they put a little restriction saying, you must have side rear view mirrors. Do you feel safer? And they give me my license and say, come back in so many years. And they'll tell me how much it costs, and they send me on my happy way. Just saying it won't save our lives, whether it's earthly or eternal. We want to make certain that our lives are safe, or as safe as can be. There's no guarantee that we walk out of here and we'll see the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, the next decade. So we better make certain that we are ready for the time that we meet the Lord. It is time to obey the gospel. You know, hearing the word as in Romans 10 and 17. To believe the word as in Mark 16, 16. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:38, to repent, to confess as in Acts 8 and in Romans 10, verse 9, to be baptized, as we just mentioned in Mark 16, 16, also in Acts 8. The Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? And to be faithful unto death, as in Revelation 2 and verse 10. That's the way to protect yourself. We talk about a safety plan to keep the building safe, to keep the congregation safe. And you know what? We also need to keep ourselves safe from hell. If we aren't keeping ourselves safe from hell, depending on our fellow brethren to watch the door and hope that most of us can get out of the building alive, that's shady odds. And if a stray something gets you, are you ready to face the next life? That's our lesson. There's the invitation song selected. If the invitation applies to you in any fashion, please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and sing.